All right, we're recording in progress, and here we go, live to Facebook and all of those other places unknown to us, which is really cool. I love it. Welcome, everybody, to the 191st meeting of Thinking Out Loud with Friends, which has gone through a lot of renditions, but now we are Thinking Out Loud with Friends. We're going to talk about whatever we want to talk about. I've got a couple of subjects, but hey, before we do that, I'm going to ask everybody in the room what they want to talk about. And just remember, everything you hear today is an opinion. And so if you don't like it, you know where you can go, you know, because opinions are like assholes. Everybody's got one and they all stink. So in this case, though, none of us stink. We're all brilliant minds here. So welcome, everybody. So who wants to say something? Who's got something on their mind that they want to cover? Great. Nobody. Okay.
Thank you, guys. Have a great evening.
Try the veal. It's really good. I've been here, you know, it's really good. Been here all week. By the way, one of our main contributors who hasn't been here in a while because he's really busy, Cavlo, he's just put his convention, or what would you call it, Ken? Ken Porter. What would you call Cavlo? A trade show? I guess that's it. And he's in your backyard. Regional, he's in Nashville.
Regional mini AV trade show. Yes.
Yeah. Are you going to be involved with that this year?
Yeah, he's supposed to call me next week. We might see each other at NAMM show. I don't know. We're to talk about what we need, what he needs.
That's right. NAMM is coming up. NAMM's next week, right?
The 25th, I think it starts.
Next Thursday.
Oh, so that is next week, unless we're on different calendars. But the
live production summit starts tomorrow in Palm Desert for 3 days.
Who's putting that on, Mark?
That's OSA and a whole bunch. If you look at LPS, I believe on Facebook, or just look up live production summit. But the main sponsor is OSA, and there's a ton of sponsors from the industry, a ton, and it's bigger this year. It's been getting bigger, like doubling each year.
Do you think it's worthwhile to attend that, Mark?
Depending on what part of the business you're in, yes, I think it's probably very. I mean, a lot of people are going. There's a list. I believe there's a list of registries, I guess you'd call it, on the website. Pretty impressive.
Now, are you working for OSA these days? I know you did some work from them, but I don't know.
I'm retired. I've been on disability now for quite a while. I have neuropathy in both legs. I don't feel anything like below my shin. So I don't get around that well, but I get around. And then I've been not obviously, but I just got out of the hospital last week, where I was for a nice 12-day stay, which was not fun, with something called a pleural effusion. I don't recommend it.
What is it?
Yeah, what is it? And how'd you get it?
They say it's from pneumonia, I guess. It's a whole bunch of liquid surrounding the lung that's pressing and collapsed. It collapsed my left lung. And I had tubes in my chest for 12 days. And that part wasn't uncomfortable. It was just the part about being in the hospital for that long, or the two hospitals. But I had what's called a VATS, which is a video-assisted thoracic surgery. So I went to sleep and I woke up and it was done.
But that's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
The video assisted part of it? Does that mean it was
the guy puts cameras in and drains. There's apparently these compartments around the lung where when they put the tubes in initially, it drains the fluid. Sorry if this is disgusting, but it is what it
is. It's life, man. It's life. It could happen to any of us, right?
It drains the fluid, but there's some compartments that store the fluid that weren't allowing the lung to expand. So that's where he goes in and drains the other fluid that needed to be drained. And I'm feeling pretty good.
And it was totally successful. They didn't have any hiccups or anything. I mean, so often you hear that there's like, oh, there was complications and they had to go and do this and that. So that didn't happen.
The chest x-rays show that my lung expanded back out. So that's good. I've not had any trouble breathing. Oh, shit. Sorry.
Time to wake up. Your alarm clock's going.
Not had any trouble breathing at all, even before that. It wasn't that. I was just not feeling good. So you just never know.
Exactly. You just never know. I mean, this thing called life, it's so fragile, you know?
Don't be afraid to go get checked up. That's all I can say. You know, I mean, I ended up going and getting some fluid drained and then coming home, and then it wasn't right. And then I ended up going back, and that was it. I what they call AMA. I left the hospital against medical authorization or against their recommendation. And then I ended up going back, and that was that, but I'm good.
Oh, well, good to hear that you're good.
Yeah, that's good.
That's good. That all's well that ends well. And let's stay healthy for a while.
It's not over for him yet. It's not over. He's doing good. So that's it. You know, it's like we're not
his time yet. Yeah.
You know, but no, I mean, have some good things to say about Mark. So
I 3 years ago, I had double bypass surgery. I was only in the hospital for 6 days. So this was a little bit rougher than that, even though it doesn't sound like such a thing. But
yeah, being in the hospital for more than a day or two is just miserable. Oh,
it's brutal. It's brutal. But it's when you find out who your friends are and how close your friends and family are and everything. And I must say this, even though she doesn't know it, my mom's 97th birthday today, but she doesn't know. She's got Alzheimer's, but it's still nice to have someone 97 around, you know?
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
So your genes are going to have you around for a long time too, then, right?
No, my jeans or my pajama pants or something.
Yeah, right.
All right, guys, get on with it. I just wanted
to. Well, that was very.
This is the show, Mark.
You were it. You're it. That's great, Mark. Thanks for sharing and letting us know that we should always, look out for things that can happen.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I never heard of such a thing, and then all of a sudden, I had it. So, you just don't know. Also, they announced a pretty unimpressive Coachella lineup. In case he didn't see it,
I thought that was really unimpressive. No Doubt is getting back together, and they're headlining. How could that possibly be?
Well, is that with Gwen Stefani or without?
Oh yeah, with.
Yeah, with Gwen Stefani.
Well, that's big news. Yeah, that's big news. But it's not as big as like what they usually have there.
Well, no, they have okay.
But they sell out.
Lana Del Rey. Lana Del Rey, Doja Cat, and the rapper Tyler. And then they have Peso Pluma, Ice Spice, Blur, Sublime, and Jay Blaven. I know a few of these acts. I mean, Doja Cat was really big, but
Am I getting old or what?
That's what I was thinking, Bruce.
I heard of Sublime, but that's about
not
it.
Not about you. Me about me.
Yeah, I don't recognize any of these. What's up with that?
To go to Coachella, that's all. It's not for us.
Poor Dave Ratz got a short circuit, guys.
My daughter's complained about how bad the Bonnaroo schedule is this year, too, and it was all announced very late this year.
Well, the fact that they sell the tickets all out before before anybody's announced has quite a bit to do with it, I think.
Well, it's an event. It's a thing to do, and it's, I don't know how many years it's been going on, but it's been going on a long, long time. So basically, you know, it's an experience. I guess I'm sure there are people that say I'm going to go to Coachella this year. I went last year. I went the year before, and now it's become an experience that they do.
Yeah, there was
no matter who is the headliner, huh? Is that the idea? No, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. They go, and it's a 3-day thing. There was talk that the Stones were involved this year. It just didn't happen. It's just a three-day thing, and it just doesn't matter to these people. Same thing with Stagecoach. After the 2 weeks of Coachella, they do Stagecoach out there, and it doesn't matter who's out there, even though they do put really top-notch country headliners out there.
Yeah, it's a big event.
Yeah. Have you ever worked Coachella, Mark?
I go out the day or 2 days before the event to see old friends that happen to be on the sound crew, but you're not catching me out there.
Okay. I've heard it's a pretty brutal schedule and a pretty brutal environment.
Yeah, Dave Ratt used to do it. And I think, Shadone's doing it now, Sound Image, I think, but not
really. Sure. Because that would really surprise me, considering that Dave Ratt is really invested in that. I mean, that was one of his major things that he did.
Yeah, I think, I mean, maybe they're sharing it. I mean, there's so many different stages. There's what, seven stages or six? And the one big one has, you know, such a huge system. You know, it's, you know, with all that delay, I don't know. I don't know if one company can do it all unless your name is, you know, Claire.
Well, of course, what and the Sound Image is part of Claire, is what I'm saying. You know,
that's what I'm saying. Different. Yeah. But you're right. Dave Ratt was a major part of that for probably the first at least 20 years.
Yeah,
because Golden Voice does it and they were friends. So, yeah. I don't know what else Golden Voice does. They used to do a lot of concerts around town, but it seems now that they only do Coachella.
No, they've got everything. They've still got a lot of the local shows in LA.
Right.
Are they the promoter? The promoter, Jen?
Yeah, Ken.
Yeah, they're the promoter, yeah.
I think they consult with AEG too.
Exactly.
At least, for sure. I know they do some stuff in at the Frost and Palo Alto. Golden Voice does a lot of that.
Interesting.
I'm pretty sure Dave's still involved with Coachella, but Shadone might be doing the delays or some of the B stages or something.
Is Shadone, speaking of Shadone, is he personally still involved in the company? I thought I heard he was stepping out.
I talked to him a couple months ago, and it seemed like he was still in a leadership position, let's say.
Yeah, cool. Usually when Claire buys a company, they let the management and the people stay. And they incorporate the bookkeeping and the sales invoices from the headquarters. But other than that, from my understanding, is that the company runs as if they were autonomous.
Oh, interesting. But it gives them access to the world of equipment the massive amount of equipment that Claire has, though, right?
That was
it. Absolutely does.
Is that things he can expand into more things.
But meanwhile, we still have the Sound Company of the Year president in this room. Sound Company of the Year.
Wow, see that?
Yeah.
That happened. That's pretty amazing. Good for you, Ken. Mario, congratulations.
Here? Is Mario here?
Mario Hedgekit? Oh.
He's in Palm Desert.
Wow.
So what's going on in Nashville right now? What's happening in Nashville?
It was -3 here last night, and we got 7 inches of snow and expecting another inch tomorrow. So,
are you fucking, pardon me, but are you kidding me? Oh my God. -3? -3 Fahrenheit?
We're not using more explicit. I think we need to.
Holy geez. In Nashville. That's incredible.
Nashville.
Wow. And that's unusual, right?
It's been a while since it's been this cold.
Global warming.
Not happening. Global warming is a myth.
I know.
Yeah, global warming. I just
have to say it. I couldn't leave it alone.
I mean, it's like crazy what's going on in the world. I mean, are you following what's going on in Iceland right now? How a city is being is completely destroyed because of the volcanoes?
Yeah, my wife last week says she wants to do this summer, out of New York, do a cruise to Iceland. I said, well, we got to do a little catching up and see if Iceland's going to still be there.
Yeah,
we may cruise out there, drive around a big rock, and cruise back.
You toast marshmallow.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen some of the videos. It's pretty impressive how big that molten lava is now and how it's exploding, you know?
Wow.
Yeah, so I got a question for you.
There's a YouTube site that has it on 24 hours a day, you know, on a webcam from far away. It's pretty cool.
Good watching. Good. You know, that's something to watch.
Hey, it's a great screensaver.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Is it anywhere near civilization? NASA. I mean, is it near where people are living?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's yeah, they had to evacuate the whole city.
It's about 40 or 50 miles southeast of the capital, and it's a little small town. I, you know, don't ask me to pronounce it because Reykjavik. Anything. Well, Reykjavik is the capital, but the town that's getting that burned up, you know, it's just, you know, the cracks opening up, the lava's just moving on down the main street, you know.
Wow.
So isn't Iceland known as one of the top aluminum producers in the world? Doesn't it come out of Iceland?
I don't know about aluminum, but they're the top hydropower. That's why so many Bitcoin mines are located in Iceland.
Because electric, almost the entire country is run on geothermal. Because right. It is what it is. It's volcanic.
But I thought they did... with the they needed a lot of electricity to convert into aluminum.
Smelting requires a lot of energy.
Yeah, and I do a lot of smelting over here, so I wouldn't know. But I guess that's why I'm so tired all the time. Smelting.
Isn't that when you catch them when you go fishing? Get the little smeltings?
Melting, yeah. Smeltings.
Beat me too.
So did you guys happen to see the logo of this week with the if Tina speaks, it'll pop up. But basically, it's a bunch of pillows with money coming out of it and on a plane. And so basically, there were two or three stories that I liked about it this week. Number one, if you watch Fox TV, you'll notice that My Pillow Guy is not on the air right now. And the reason being he's not on the air, they pulled his ads, is because he hasn't paid their bill since August. So they pulled him off the air. That's one of the reasons why I got the money in the pillows. And the other thing and of course the name of the show is the Mile High Club. Did you hear this story about what happened? I guess it was on Spirit Airlines, where this guy goes to the flight attendant and tries to convince her to join the Mile High Club with him. And then actually like kind of attacks one of the other flight attendants and pulls her down. I mean, what is going on with people? And not only that, I mean, have you heard this story?
No.
Oh, man. Well, it's in the show notes. I think we got the link. But you could just Google it, what's going on. I mean, that is insane that's happening these days.
And yes, people are more insane now than ever, or at least they're showing it now more than ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that happens once a week somewhere in the world. You know, we have the link, Tina.
The link's in the show notes. Know. Put that up.
Somehow it doesn't upset me that the My Pillow guy is having sleepless nights.
Yeah, that's right.
No, I'm not opposed to their lack of commercials for My Pillow guy.
Yeah. And then the other thing that's kind of interesting while we're talking about flying, because we all fly, the TSA is now thinking about putting in self checkpoints where you would go through the TSA and you would check yourself.
Bruce, you'll see it.
Are you serious? Are you? Is this a joke? Or are you serious, Jan?
No, I'm serious.
No, he's serious.
How could that be? How could that be?
Well, they evidently have some AI intelligence that you would have to apply to be, I guess, on the flight list, and then you would go through, and now they have different ways to scan your bags. So, I mean, they're looking for two things, you know. The TSA, I believe, is basically looking for, weapons and bombs. They're not really looking that much for contraband. And I guess that's what it is. I have no idea.
They're still finding guns, right, Jan?
They're still going to scan your bags. It's just for identification for who you are. Yeah. You know, where you have to show the boarding pass and your driver's license. Now they'll give an iris scan or something, and you walk through.
No, Dave. No, absolutely. Your bags go through. You check your self-check your bags through a machine.
Automated. You do that anyway.
But we do that now, and they still get x-rayed.
Well, you want to hear something interesting? That the TSA announced Wednesday that more than 6,700 guns were intercepted at U.S. airports in 2023. At the airport.
Well,
they want to trust people more. I mean, the self-check implies trust. In other words, they're going to trust a certain amount of people to do it properly themselves, and there's got to be a certain amount of trust involved in that, and they're going to trust more people, even though more people are doing bad things. I think that's a little on the crazy side.
Well, TSA pre is trust, so you know you've been pre-approved.
Right. So, exactly. Yeah.
So you know there's levels of trust that we already have, and if your badge is still going to get on a conveyor belt, I don't see the problem.
Well, we'll find out because they're self-testing it in Las Vegas. That's the first place what they're doing in. So I can't wait to go through it to see what it's like so I could report back. But somebody, you know, will be flying into Vegas probably before me, and you could tell me what it's like when you go through it. I mean, even Costco now is changing their policy. I don't know if you heard this, but Costco now, you just go in, you know, you just show the card, you walk in. They're going to stop that now. Now they're going to have scanners at the door where you have to, they're going to scan your card to make sure that it's actually you on the card. Because thanks to COVID, so many people were lending people their cards to go shopping that now, just like Netflix, they don't want you to share accounts. They want you to have your own account because that's where Costco makes most of their money, is on the membership.
So I think what they're trying to avoid is people sharing. So are they going to have some kind of facial recognition device? Is that what we're saying?
Yep. Costco is testing out a system that requires members to scan their membership card at the store entrance instead of just flashing the card to the employees. This comes as the retail giant aims to decrease the number of members who are sneaking in with membership cards that don't belong to them. And so, particularly since the company has expanded their self-checkout. So basically what I understand is that you flash your card and then the person who's monitoring it will see your picture up on a screen. If you don't match the picture, I don't know what they're going to do.
Oh, interesting. So in other words, they're just, I think it doesn't sound like it's facial recognition. It sounds like it's a, They're trying to be more tight with the restriction about you using your own card.
Sam Club has always had pictures on the back. If you have a business,
we have pictures on our cards, but it's tiny, so they can't really look at it and see it's the same person.
They,
you know,
they randomly check all the time. You know, that was even before they had self checkout. You know.
Well, I've never been asked for ID at Costco or Sam's Club.
They're going to match, but it doesn't prevent you from bringing a guest in with you.
Yeah, but bringing a guest is one thing, but having a guest come instead of you is another thing. That's what they've been doing.
True.
Yeah, that's what they're doing. So basically, because that's how they make their money on membership, they're just tightening it up because Netflix has done it, you know. But anybody hear anything more on anything like that? By the way, is anybody planning on buying the new Apple Vision that's going to come out next week?
Yeah.
Can you believe it? I mean, I heard that they're already sold out of their first run, and it's $3,500 a pop for these things. I just can't imagine that people are going to want to be that isolated.
Yeah, it even the standard iPhone sales have, you know, finally kind of tapered off and flatlined. And, you know, yes, there are a group of enthusiasts who have to have the latest product offering, but most people are now quite satisfied with their 12 or their 13, and they don't need a $2,000 titanium phone.
Yeah, I mean, I felt the same way. I mean, I have the iPhone 13, which I'm using right now as my camera, and it is a perfect phone. It works great. I get my email, I get my text messages. I'm able to make good phone calls, which is unusual for a phone, you know, to make phone calls, because you know when they advertise a phone, they never advertise the phone call part of it. Never, ever, you know? And Apple, remember, had that antenna gate thing going on for a while where you really couldn't make phone calls. And most
Well,
companies
they improved the camera, I think, the most of anything in every new release. The camera gets better, so you can do better photographs and stuff. My son got the iPhone 15, and he's raving about how great the camera is.
Yeah, I
Dude, the
have it.
camera is amazing.
The camera's great, and the battery lasts
It's the
forever.
battery. It's the
Battery
battery.
lasts forever.
Yeah.
We used to have to charge like twice a day, and I can go like 2 days.
Oh, that's a huge difference, Kurt. Are you serious?
Oh, it's
I mean,
great.
are you similar usage? Yeah.
Probably more.
How about that? That's
It's
huge.
yeah. I mean, my what did I have? I had a 10 or 30, a 12. I don't remember what it was. And I'd have to charge twice a day. Like I could
Maybe
not
up
make it through a gig day like that. And the, but the new one, it's I could do 2 days of shows and be fine.
Wow. But
Maybe
the
Apple
spell
should.
check is really weird.
I remember when I went to visit you in Las Vegas, Kenny, that basically you had just bought that Q charger that you were putting your phone on when you weren't using it, and you just had it on your console desk so that you could keep your phone charged all the
Well,
time.
I'm the exception to the rule. I like my phone to be at 100% all the time.
Actually, they say that's not good for it.
I know.
Ken,
Yeah, it
how
kills
was
the battery
the
if you overcharge it.
Ken, how was the McCallum gig?
It happened. I don't know. I don't want to exaggerate it or anything, but I really don't like working there because of the mix position.
Right.
Have you know the place? You know the mixed position I'm talking
Yeah,
about?
I do. I was down there with or not with, but I went to see some friends that were there with Bocelli last year. So
Oh yeah.
Doisel, Paul Doisel was there with OSA.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Did he
Yeah.
mix from
The
from the box or
bat
from the back in the back underneath him?
house right underneath the balcony.
Oh, that's one bad mix position, but I mix from the other bad mix position that doesn't kill any seats. It only kills that box. So I
Okay.
mix on the upper box on house left, and it is just so not in the range of the sound system. I mean, it is, you know, you can sort of hear it over there. It's over there somewhere though, you know?
Oh, that's horrible.
How did they design a theater where the sound, the mixing position is on the left side of the theater, or theater stage right or stage left, the way you have
Well,
the way?
the house booth is on house right, and the visiting booth is house left. And yeah, you know, it's an expensive booth to kill, but they kill that booth so that I can put my console there and just take up that whole booth. But the point is, yeah, how could they? How could they? That's a really good question. The place was built how long ago? What,
Got to
30
be
years
the
ago or
six,
so?
got to be 70, 60, 70s. I don't know. It's
Oh,
old.
I thought it was in the 90s, but
Oh, I
okay,
don't
anyway,
know.
so and whenever it was, I guess they just weren't thinking about that, and they went, okay, we're not going to put a mixed position. I mean, it's what I think they call continental seating. That is, there's no center aisle, and so there's no place where it would be any good unless it was totally sunken and it would, you know, down within the seats. And there's no cross aisles, are there? I don't think so.
No,
I think it's all,
just all the way up the far right and the far
the
left.
back, way in the back.
You're probably right. It was probably redesigned in the, let's say, the late 90s, but that's still a while ago now.
Is I
there?
just know, you know, Jim Anderson is there. You know Jim, right?
I know him.
Yeah, and so I thought he said that he had worked there since the place was open. I mean, since the place was new, and I thought that was in the early 90s.
No, I
Is
don't
there
think so.
infrastructure in there for to get signal and power and stuff to the console, or are you like hanging it off the front of the box?
Oh, I'm sorry, what was that?
Is there infrastructure to get power and signal up to you at your console built in, or is it just hanging off the
No,
front of the?
we run our temporary cables from the box to the stage.
Just over the front of the box.
Well, it runs around, it's very neatly done. It runs the front of my box and then to the next box over and then the next box over and then goes through a hole in the wall to the stage.
Yeah, but that's the guest side. The other side is fully tech that.
That's fully wired. Yeah, yeah.
The thing about the McCallum is that it's for a very wealthy clientele.
Exactly. So
what you've got is a giant stage house and a very small theater for a giant stage house. And so they weren't going to give up any of those orchestra seats for a mixed position because there aren't that many of them. It's too valuable. I mean, that was definitely a conscious decision on their part of stick them up there because the people are paying to be down here.
It's the Palm Springs crowd, you know, and you know, a lot of retired, very wealthy people, and that's what they attract there.
And by the way, isn't it, David, you'll confirm this or not, isn't it a not-for-profit or a facility?
That I don't know.
It's at the college. That's what I heard. It's on the college campus, so I don't know.
So, you know, they rely on the donations of their donors, you know, the people that donate tons of money.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. They don't donate lots of money.
Oh. And by the way, Jim Anderson was not the first guy there.
Is that right? I thought he was.
No. Because I played there before him. And I have no idea who it was, but I know I was there before he was there.
Oh, how about that? Okay.
But he has been there forever. It's not like, yeah, he just walked in. He's been at 25, 30, 35 years, whatever it is.
Yep. I every time I go there, I'm amazed that he's still there, but yeah, he's still into it.
That's good longevity to have a job that long. Pretty impressive.
Well, remember, he was Engelbert's mixer doing front of house and monitors before any of us.
Right, right.
And getting that abuse for years, 7 years or something like that. He deserves
it. With Engelbert for 7 years? Are you joking?
That's something impossible. Like
that. that was back when Engelbert was fill in the blank. I don't know. Something different.
Yeah, that was different. The 70s. Back in the 70s.
Maybe when it was the height of his career or something, and he wasn't paying as much attention to the sound or something, or maybe the sound equipment available wasn't so good anyway. I don't know.
Well, I remember feeling really sorry for Jim. So it definitely was not easy for him.
Alcohol, I think that was when it was before they invented alcohol. I think that's when it was.
Oh, maybe that's what it was. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, when I was in Tahoe, we came through with Engelbert. I was the house guy, and that's how I met Jim. And I got to see, you know, a few times he came through with Engelbert, and I could see him, you know, getting the abuse that we all know that the sound guy gets. And yet, you know, Jim's Mr. Mellow personality, he made it through all those years. And these
there's some people like that.
Yeah, it was amazing.
David, tell me about your camera. What's going on with your camera? Every week it's a little bit different. This week, are you using an iPhone?
All right, let's get very fast. I'm trying to sign in like I normally sign in, and I still got the same problem I had last time. I can't unmute, and I can't get the video going. And yet yesterday I was on a Zoom, and I had no problems at all. So it's something on this connection that's screwing me up. So I'm on my iPhone now. Because I cannot get the video to work.
So I had literally last week as well, and I ended up having to redo my credentials to Zoom. I signed in under another ID in the Zoom, into the meeting, and that solved it for me. And I got a feeling, Jan, that might be, Wayne's been this way for the past 2 weeks down in Australia. I don't know what it is, but you know, I just came in on I created another Gmail account, came in on Zoom on that Gmail account, and boom, I was in. You know, it still said Gregory Baker.
So, yeah, it sure does. That's who you are, right?
Today, yeah.
Nice one.
Depends on whether I owe you money. No.
Well, fortunately, you don't.
It's a glitch with the witness protection program.
Yeah,
I guess there's something going on with your meeting or something. Hey, Jan.
But you're not having problems, right?
I haven't, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to.
And Mark signed in today for the first time. He's in, and Kurt's in without any problem. Ken Porter's in without any problem. Chris, what about you? Are you in without any problem?
Does Zoom offer you any sort of a blacklist or anything like that? People that are not allowed in? I mean, is it possible blacklisted some people?
But I think it's cash credentials.
I'm on an iPad and I signed in, you know, using Google. You just press the button and then it signed me in and there I was. What? But yeah, I used another credential and it bombed me out. It wouldn't let me in. And I had to pass through a web browser. Then the web browser started the app and then everything seemed to work okay.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll make it easier.
I'm signed in. I just can't get audio and video to work. But I'm signed in. You can see my picture of me at the Carnegie Hall. So I don't get it.
Yeah, you are signed in. But that would have nothing to do. That would have nothing to do with me or with Zoom. That's on your side. You must have some software on your computer that is keeping it from working correctly.
Except Jan, it worked perfectly yesterday.
I can't sign in directly either. I have to sign in through Facebook to get onto this one. Any other thing like Scoville's one or anything, I just signed in and it just launches.
It definitely wants to see you be a registered user in order to get to this meeting.
Yeah. Yes, that's correct. That's correct.
I bet Kurt is. I bet David is.
We were being Zoom bombed, you know, but maybe that stopped.
I don't know.
I keep having a time. I want me to update. When I load in, it keeps making up, goes and updates my computer every time, like every couple times.
Well, Zoom just came out with a new update as well. And that's also important to have the newest software.
You don't need to upgrade. You just need to update. In other words, you don't need to go to the paid format. You can go still and stay on the free, right?
Because you're the one paying for it, right? No, it's the app itself.
I don't pay for it. It was updating, kept updating my software. I could updates come in and it would log me out and it'd be a minute before I could get back in.
Yeah, that's but you don't have to pay. They still have the free version. I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure how much time they give you now to have your own meeting. I think it used to be 45 minutes, but I think that now it's 30 minutes that you could do a Zoom meeting for free. But don't take my word for it. Do your own research because everything we hear is an opinion.
But let's clarify, you are not on that free. We're not on that free service right now. You pay for it, right?
I pay. Yes, I pay. They make me pay.
He pays. Okay. So you pay, and therefore your meeting time is not restricted.
That's right. Not only that, I also switched to Zoom Phone, which I am really pleased with right now. I could really, in the beginning, we were having a little bit of difficulty with connectivity issues with my VPN, but Zoom has fixed that. And now it really works flawlessly. It's basically very inexpensive compared to all of the features you get. Like we were with another company before, which I really love, Nextiva. I was with Nextiva from when they first started. They only had like 3 or 4 employees. And then 15 years later, their price per phone was like $40 a line, whereas Zoom was $20. And so I went with Zoom. And it works on your cell phone, it works on your computer, works on your iPad, it works on any device that you can, and it's flawless. It's absolutely.
And what service are you talking about? You're not talking about the cell service. What service are you talking about?
Well, it's the Zoom VoIP phone. It's voice over internet protocol. And it's really good. So if you have a business and you want a switchboard and you want it to sound bigger than it really is, then
VoIP phone is what it basically is. You're saying.
I mean, there's like Ring Central. There is, we looked into all of them. Ring Central, Vonage.
Is 8x8 one of those?
8x8 is another one. Yeah, those are big VoIP providers. Yeah. And then you can run trunks. You can run a trunk with your own asterisk, your own PBX, or you can just use a VoIP app that would install onto your phone, or you can have a physical, you know, Cisco voice over IP phone, or you know, another brand, Yealink.
Yeah, same thing with Zoom Phone. I have an actually a hardwired phone at my office, that I could just pick up and dial just like any other phone. But what I find is I use my iPhone all the time to make phone calls, no matter where I am, to make calls. And it gives you two features. One, you can either use it with, you know, any number that you have, so you could use it that way. In other words, so a caller ID, or you can say that you don't want to be caller ID'd and not show any caller ID, which is crazy, because nobody will answer your call if you do that, you know?
Yeah, but how many
these days, that's true. Can you do? What?
So, but how many plug-in inserts can you do?
Yeah, right.
Well, I use Waves on it, so it's great, you know. That's it, you know, no problems.
Right. Four per channel, five per channel?
Yeah.
Well, speaking of which, has anybody ever heard of another back lounge? I mean, we know about Robert Scoville's, but have you heard of a different back lounge that's based in England?
No.
I guess you guys don't listen to the Signal to Noise podcast?
No, I don't. No. But I've seen it. I've seen their Facebook page.
So I was looking for something to listen to, and I saw this headline, or I mean, the title of the podcast was the name of the guest. I think her name was, what was her name? I don't know, Ann Miller, whatever the name was. And, you know, inventor of the, or originator of the back lounge. And I was like, well, that's not possible. That's Robert Scoville's thing. But it turns out I listened to the podcast, and she started a back lounge a few years ago during COVID. And sounds very similar to Robert's, although it's not just audio people. It's all, excuse me, all production people.
Now, did she record it and put it out as a podcast like we do?
Good question. I don't think so.
Be a whole other place to post pictures, Ken.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, I think you might want to look into it. Find that UK-based back lounge.
A whole new audience.
Uh-huh,
that was funny. There was, by the way, I would like to make an announcement right now. I wanted to let everybody know that Ken Newman just had a birthday. So happy birthday, Ken. And thank you so much for being part of it and for staying healthy and being with us. So
thanks. And Kurt's the best. Kurt put a really nice thing on the back lounge for me. That was really cool. Thanks, Kurt.
Was that the one with your face in the horse's ass?
Yeah, that was it. Yeah.
No, that's me. Yeah.
And we, there was a contest. Gear wanted to have a contest of which was more popular. You know, Kurt's picture of you with the horse's ass, or
no, you're getting it wrong, Jan. I made myself the horse's ass.
Oh.
Ken was eating a lot of cake in a high chair with a hat on.
Yeah. Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, anyway, Kurt is out of control.
But I had a forfeit because Kurt was original and mine, I had gotten, somebody had sent it to me and I just reposted it.
Speaking of Kurt, by the way, did you see that Dead and Company is going to do a residence in Las Vegas at your favorite facility that you don't want to hear about?
Are you kidding me? At the Sphere? Really?
That would be an absolute disaster.
Dead and Company is going to be doing it.
Why is that, Kurt?
Because so much of it is over the air and present, and Derek is going to hate mixing there, and he's going to have a massive time trying to mix on a console he wants to use in that space.
What's the console that he wants to use? What's he use?
EX50.
Analog.
Gamble.
Well, that's no problem. He can still put outputs of it into their system, right?
Well, I don't know how their system works, but he's going to have a maximum of like 16 outs if you push it.
I'm sure it'll be fantastic.
Not really designed to work that well. No, the latency is going to be a nightmare. Two drummers and all the percussion stuff, and you can't put all of that behind plexi.
Well, I wonder if they're going to do it proscenium style. Or do you know anything about it?
I don't know. I've heard that this was going to happen. Derek's on tour right now. He's down to Mexico, but I'm probably going to try to ask him about it later.
Because you've heard about that option, right? The proscenium option.
Yeah, I think it's a terrible idea.
From a sound standpoint. But imagine the visuals they can do. People will be hallucinating to the visuals.
Yeah, well, they don't even need the Sphere to do that.
That's what I mean.
A lot of those people will be outside as well.
That's built in. You don't need the Sphere for that part.
But how long is there? Crazy. How long is their engagement there?
3 or 4 days, I think.
That's it. That's it. Yeah. Really? I know. Well, that yeah, what I find short. What Fishy, I think Fishy's is interesting.
There for 3 days. Also.
Oh, no kidding.
Right. Yep.
How interesting. Well, Fish, and then they're really catering to the what would you call that crowd?
Jam band.
Okay. I guess they think they can. I mean, really, all they're looking at is who can we fill this place with?
And the NHL draft and the NHL awards this year
are happening there?
At the Sphere, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
See, that kind of stuff
would
makes sense.
That would be a good thing.
Award shows, all that kind of stuff makes sense in there. Bands.
You can't put a lectern with a chef's microphone in front of the PA, can you?
I don't know.
Sure. They do that for the movie.
No, they don't. I went to see the movie. There was nobody talking.
Oh, well, they did that. Well, I saw pictures. They did that for the opening.
I heard that they had somebody talking beforehand.
Yeah. Somebody.
I guess if you get right on the microphone. Yeah. Oh, at the mixed position. Okay.
Yeah. I wonder if positions up in the middle of the audience. NDAs have expired on that as well, so people can talk. But I'm hearing that they're losing money hand over fist over there. The management, the head management people have already been replaced with other management people. But that's not unusual. I mean, the Fountain Blue, all the head people at that Fountain Blue have been exchanged.
Tell me about that. Why is that? I mean, the Fountain Blue, they made a big splash opening a few weeks ago, right?
I don't really know, but all I know is that the two top people are gone now. And it's a huge venue, as far as a hotel. I don't even know if there's a showroom. I'm sure there's a showroom.
It's definitely a showroom. It's very high tech. That's where Paul Anka and Justin Timberlake did the opening.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Justin
and friends of mine work for Paul Anka, so they told me all about it at the time. Of course, I don't remember now, but they were telling me about it at the time. It's a very impressive sound system and stuff.
That's an interesting combination, Justin Timberlake and.
There was the old and the new, because remember Paul Anka played in the Fountain Blue in Miami when he was a kid, when he was 20-ish, when he was popular. When he was, he had hits
on the
radio.
He was in the business for decades.
Well, of course, decades. But that's the point, is that it was the old and the new. Bring in the new with, and that's why they had Justin Timberlake there to bring in the new,
I think we lost Brutus.
Has there been any more shows?
That's a good question. I don't know.
What, did Bruce fall asleep? Is that it, Bruce?
Yeah, Bruce. I guess we really bored Bruce. Wow. Bruce is like David a couple of weeks ago.
You guys also did see the news last week that they pulled the plug on the Sphere in London, right?
Is that
right? Yeah, because of light pollution. And they're not making any money in Las Vegas. And if they can't make money in Las Vegas, how are they going to make money in London?
So, Ken, what was the latency number that we talked about in back lounge at the place?
What, in terms of, if the stage is in front of the PA?
Yeah, the throughput latency of the PA. 126.
Oh, okay.
So you're going to have two drummers who won't play behind glass, and you're going to have John Mayer, who absolutely will not use a modeler of any kind. How's that going to work?
They've got to be proscenium. It's got to be proscenium style.
It's still going to have all that latency. Doesn't matter. So you move them back 40 feet, you're still going to be 90.
But you're saying that latency is related to the processing of the PA?
Yeah, that's the
whole reason. I thought it was physical latency.
No, that's the whole reason that U2 had to switch to all modelers, and they had to put a giant glass cube around the drummer. You can't have any live impulse in the room.
Otherwise, it's way out of time.
So far out of time that it'll drive everybody nuts.
Well, I am anxious to see how this evolves. That's going to be really interesting. Thank you for enlightening me.
Well, I guess they're going to just have to make sure that the audience has more psychedelics in them than normal, and then they'll just think that's part of the show.
You can go and sell apple juice.
Well, the other question is that they're going to do the NHL draft in there, and the writer for the draft requires a truss above all the tables, all the team tables, and with a Meyer speaker pointing down at each table.
Well, that's what it has required in the past. I mean, do you think they're going to require that in a different venue like this?
Good question.
I'm sure
they're going to tell them. They're going to tell them that they can point, you know, point the sound down with the holoplot system. They'll point a certain system, a certain signal to this seat, certain signal to this seat, and so forth and so on. They'll say that they can focus the sound that way just to get them in there or something. You know what I mean?
And I'm looking at Fountain Blue Entertainment right now, and I see one act, Third Eye Blind.
What is playing there now?
In June.
Oh yeah, okay.
But
I was going to say, because now is kind of the is now the season or the off season? It's kind of the off season right now.
Yeah, there's still tons of shows.
Nah, there's no off season in Vegas.
But I mean, like who's at Resorts World this week, for example, or who's at Planet Hollywood?
CES, one of the biggest shows ever. You know, yeah. I mean, more people go to CES than almost any other show in the world.
I mean, I think true. Rod Stewart is still up there, and I don't know who else is up there, but I mean, a lot of them have the in-house shows, right? The Cirque shows still.
Oh yeah. Speaking of which, I'm curious to see how the Mirage evolves with the Hard Rock ownership.
Dave, you were at CES. What did you think of CES this year?
David's on both places. I see two Davids. I see a landscape, and I see a portrait.
It was just because I started drinking early tonight. All right.
There's two of you, David.
Pick one and go.
I don't think you can hear us though, because he just said, you can hear. Yeah, we hear you.
Yeah,
fine.
We hear you.
You're fine.
Okay. Well, I'm working on my phone. I tried to get in through my browser, and that ended up with some weird stuff going on. So,
but we see two of you, but for what it's worth.
That's my browser. Then up on top it says, do not speak to the sound engineer. There's three of me.
You see three, we see two, I think.
And well, Third Eye
that's not. Oh, Kurt, you're so bad. You, Kurt, come on.
Is that the Fountain Blue? This is perfect. In honor of Third Eye Blind being at the Fountain Blue, David's
third eye sight, third eye sighted.
And I just
look at Kurt though. Kurt, say something.
I just see that Carrie Underwood.
Just checking in on Bruce, make sure he's okay.
I see that Carrie Underwood starts back tonight at Resorts World.
Oh, cool. All right, there you go.
Yeah. So, David, tell me about CES.
Well, it's funny. Something called AI was all over the show. It's amazing. It was in cars, it was in toasters, it was in broilers, it was in everything. Mini bikes, everything is AI. You know, they're putting AIs in Volkswagen Golfs or Volkswagens so you can converse with your car like a normal person. I mean, it's just everywhere.
I wonder if they could put AI in a golf club so that you could always get a hole in one.
Rodney Dangerfield had that in Caddyshack.
Bruce is really sound asleep, man.
Watch out, Kurt. He's right behind you. Watch out.
There's not a lot of oxygen in space.
I did zoom in on him actually when I did that to make sure he was breathing. So he's good.
Good.
So David, what about clear video screens or something like that I saw somewhere?
Televisions that you can see through. Yeah, you can put it in front of your fish tank so you have something to look at. And then you turn it on and it's got a great picture the way it is, but they have a black mat that comes up behind it, so that you can really see better contrast what you're looking at. But they had that. They had a folding TV. They had a TV that folded, 105-inch TV that folded into six pieces so you can move it around. I mean, it's just, you know, the CES show is a lot of fun. You know, it's Disneyland for tech people. It's just fun. But, yeah, they had the giant TVs, you know, like 20-foot, I mean, it was really the dot matrix stuff where they put them together, but they were huge and they had great resolution.
Were a lot of people, a lot of the attendees wearing masks?
No, hardly any. Hardly any at all, like 2 out of 100.
No interest.
I was wondering about
my
that.
My niece was there and she said the coolest thing that she came across simply, I think it's because she was starving. The GE booth has a, they have a tabletop smoker, like you do brisket, everything like that. And when you open the door, the smoke alarm doesn't go off or anything like that. It's really good, but it's $1,000, you know, piece that you want to put on your counter. But she said it was amazing.
They had something interesting. It was a broiler that was like a toaster that you put your meats in on edge in between two really hot heating elements. And so it cooks both sides at the same time. The grease drops down and it's cooked. You cook ribs, you can cook whatever you want, hamburgers. That was another one.
I mean, George Foreman came up with that a long time ago. I've been using the Foreman grill for a long time.
Not the same. Not when you see, you know, red hot heating elements that are cooking your meat in the air. You know, because it's sideways. Yeah. It's like this.
Well, one of the most amazing things that about the George Foreman grill is there's no on and off switch. You just have to plug it in and plug it out. It's like made so cheaply, but it works so well. By the way, speaking of Las Vegas, you know, they're building the train now. They're actually, they started with the...
Too bad it comes from the Inland Empire, though.
Yeah, well, eventually it's going to go all the way to L.A., but they did...
It's not going to go all the way to L.A.
No, that's what I'm talking about. L.A. is Inland Empire.
You still connect to the same station.
That's why it goes to the Inland Empire.
Yeah, you disconnect through in San Francisco.
Yeah,
it's still a nice train that goes to Grand Central, to the Union Station in L.A. But yeah, it's called Bright Star. Pretty impressive if it works.
Well, Bright Star is already in Florida, and they've already proved that they can build a railroad to service an entire state. So yeah. You see those little trains go by.
It's cool and it's nice. It really is. Definitely pay for the upgrade if you're gonna, you know, get the business class. It's definitely worth it. So, but it's nice. I rode it from Fort Lauderdale to Orlando, and it was well worth it.
That's the high speed train.
Yeah. Bright Star.
So, how long is it gonna take to get from Rancho Cucamonga to Vegas?
2 hours.
Wow, that's fast.
That's pretty fast, but
that is fast. You know, by the way, they just to give you an idea, in November of 2023, Las Vegas had 3.293 million people, and the occupancy was 81.9%, and 3.74 million rooms. And in November alone, they had 600,000 people show up just for conventions. I don't even know what conventions were in November. And they say the daily average room rate in November was almost $250 a night.
Was that Formula One time, though?
Could have been, yeah.
Right in the beginning of November, I think.
But they did $1.215 billion worth of gambling during that period of time, which is pretty impressive. Yeah. By the way, so many of the stores and restaurants are complaining right now about how much business they lost during Formula One because of all the construction that went up.
Because of all the access areas that were closed, whether it was sidewalks or roads, lots of things were closed to the point where all these restaurants got, you know, out of luck. They were all of a sudden people couldn't get to their restaurant anymore.
I believe they're going to try to make some more promises to them for the next few years, but we'll see what
happens. I bet they will.
Yeah.
They said that as far as gambling, the actual gambling was concerned, the really high end places, you know, like the Wynn and places like that, they made out like Banshee. But, you know, the other places like, you know, name a lower end place, you know,
Imperial
Flamingo.
Palace.
Imperial Palace. Flamingo, yeah.
Circus, you know. Yeah, they lost money big time. Relatively. I mean. Yeah.
Well, they expected more people, right. But it's going to be 10 years in the making, so we'll see what happens next year.
It was quite an event from what I saw, though. It looked like they pulled it off, considering. Yeah.
They had a lot of challenges. I mean, but one of the things, they just passed the law that on the overpasses they go across the streets, there's no loitering on that. You can't stand. You have to keep moving.
That's not only during the race. That's now, you mean, right?
Now. It's now official, yeah, on any of the overpasses. And a lot of the temporary overpasses are still up from what I'm reading.
They left them. They leave them up. They're leaving them up, the bridges that they built.
Makes sense. Just makes sense.
Well, that's going to move all the three-card Monty guys somewhere else because they always hang out there. Those shills always hang out on the pedestrian bridges, you know, trying to hook people
in. That must be why they're doing it then.
Yep. All right. Well, listen, one last thing. Did you hear about what happened this year about copyrights? You know, like every year, a few things go into public domain. And this year, Mickey Mouse, Steamboat Willie went into public domain. And it's going to be interesting because not Mickey Mouse, but the Steamboat Willie version of Mickey Mouse. And they're making a horror movie now, a Disney horror movie with Mickey Mouse. I mean, that's, you know, that's...
Disney is or somebody else is?
Yeah, no, Disney's not making it. Because the porn industry already got into it. You know, they decided to make a Steamboat Willie porno film.
Well, I guess it comes down to this, you know, with I guess it's that old joke where Mickey and Minnie are in front of the, you know, in front of the judge filing for a divorce. And let's see if I could remember it exactly. You know, why do you want a divorce? You know, because, you know, you think that she's goofy and, you know, and he says, no, I said, you know, I don't think she's goofy. She was fucking goofy. You know, that's what it was. So I think that's the joke where he gets.
That just means she's very goofy then. Very goofy.
Yeah, huh? That's right. But going back, the jazz singer, Chicago. When the boys leave home, Uncle Tom's Cabin, Wings. There's a whole list of stuff, but the most famous one is The Jazz Singer, which was the first movie ever made. I guess the first talkie movie, and that goes into public domain. We have a link. We'll throw that if you're interested in it. Other than that, look, we've been on for about an hour now. So before we say goodbye to everybody on Facebook, Google, wherever else they're watching, Spotify. Does anybody have anything they want to say to the general public? And then we'll go back. We'll take us off the air. We'll stop recording and we'll talk about whatever we want to talk about, just like before.
I have something that I found really fascinating at the CES show that I don't think I talked about. Did I talk about the baby monitor and the baby crying?
Never you mentioned it to me, but that's fascinating. Go talk about it.
So AI. Well, it's a baby monitor, and it will listen to a baby cry, and as it learns, it can tell the mother why the baby's crying, whether it's dry, whether it's wet, whether it's hungry, whether it's uncomfortable, hot, and it turns out it's accurate eventually 90% of the time, and it turns out that mothers are only accurate 30% of the time. So that's pretty cool. For a baby monitor.
Well, I hope AI continues because right now a lot of the companies are suing OpenAI, like the Times is suing them. I don't know who else is suing, but a lot of people are suing these companies because the chatbots went out there and just sucked in all this information that was out there to make the ChatGPT or OpenAI effective. And, you know, I hope that doesn't stop. But right now they're saying that it could cost about 300 million jobs. And I was wondering if you guys think that AI could replace us as engineers. What do you guys think?
I'm pretty sure in a lot of situations they'll figure out how to make it work. Yep.
They'll never be able to be anywhere near as grumpy, though.
Well, for sure.
That's for sure. That's for sure. I mean, you know, I mean, like Tesla and all these places. I mean, they, you know, they, could you imagine working in a place where they actually have robots, humanoid robots working, like, for example, at the Tesla factory or Amazon's factory, you know? And that's scary to me.
I don't think you'll have to worry about it in your lifetime, Jan.
Well, I'm worried about it now, and I'm still alive, so you know, I'm still here.
Yeah, but you're in Bangkok. You definitely don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. By the way, okay. So I'll tell you what. Please forgive me for this, for a little movement, but I'm gonna turn the camera around, and there is what Bangkok looks like out my window.
Good morning, Bangkok.
Amazing.
A lot of big buildings. That's it. A lot of big buildings. So you got to see it in real life. Anyway,
let me just cut in and say I've got to run. It's been really nice being here, meeting a lot of you and seeing a lot of you that I haven't seen in forever. It's just been awesome. And I look forward to next time.
Well, Mark, I
great,
hope you
great
make
seeing
it.
You, Mark. And it's great to hear about your experience there with the hospital. It's always great to hear what happens to people, so you know what to expect, you know?
Yeah, well, I wish the best to everybody and good health and a great prosperous year to all you guys.
Well, Mark, you said one thing earlier that really stuck in my mind, and that is early detection, because I just saw I just was watching a clip on CNN that says the number one best way to save your life is early detection. So make sure you everybody go gets your test, your annual physical every year.
Get blood work done and see a doctor. I mean, it's not fun, but you got to do it. I mean, you just have to do it.
If you want to stay alive, that's it.
Yeah.
Well, hey, the King of England's doing it, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just heard Kate had some major surgery.
Yeah, and the King Charles is going in for preventative prostate.
Yeah, and what's that guy, you know, or Lloyd Austin was, you know, that's a crazy thing that the Secretary of Defense, you know, had that prostate work. I could relate to that, you know, but that's a scary thought that he had to go in for, he went in for the surgery and then he had those complications 2 weeks later, he's still in the hospital. We wish him a speedy recovery as we do everyone. Mark, you were really great today. I hope you come back. Because you're a fountain of knowledge and I love it. And it's good to see you again after all these years.
Thanks, Jan. And thanks everybody for the support, and you guys all take care of yourselves.
All right.
Okay.
Smart.
And with that,
stay healthy.
We're going to say goodbye to everybody online and we're going to stay in the room. If you want to join us, just remember, just DM me from anywhere you're watching this and we'll send you a link so that you can join. And again, everything you heard today is opinion. And I will leave you with this. Remember, you make it happen. Go out, have a great week, and we'll see you again next week. Same time, same place. Be safe, everybody. And take care of your health. And we are off the air.